Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode of Living Loud Outdoors. On the mic with you, it's Saturday night, story time with Buster. Man, we have been in a story. I hope you've stayed up, or if nothing else, you go back and catch up on A White Stone. Man, 32 chapters that we just did in an epilogue, and I want to finalize this. This is basically a letter written kind of like to the reader. So I want to finish this book out with this particular passage that my friend Jim Corbett wrote. I believe it is a great way to end our session with A White Stone. Again, what an incredible time that we've had in this book. The parallel of today's time versus when this book was written in the late 1990s. Incredible timing. And when Jim wrote this book in 97, he basically said, what a depiction of our time then. And now look at how much more it even parallels. So with that, I want to close up our A White Stone with, to the remnant Christians who desire to live the passionate life of Christ, to those who really hear what the Lord is saying in these times, walk in Christ's kind of love. Love the church and love people, not some mealy-mouthed, worldly kind of love, but love as Jesus did. Give your lives for the good of others, even if you look foolish doing it. God is with you, and it is the way to absolute freedom. Those who have set aside what most of the church and the world call important are labeled misfits of some sort. Walking and listening to the Lord is your priority in life, is a road that few believers choose to take. Seeking after God's anointing and choosing to move only when His presence is with you rarely enters the mind of most Christians. To some of you, however, it is the only gospel that makes sense. Your life is not your own, and you know it. Throughout the Word of God, you are in good company, even if you feel very much alone in some of today's fellowships. Find good counsel, people who believe in your calling, and go for it, no matter what the cost. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 from the Message Bible. It seems to me that God has put us to bear this message on a stage in a theater in which no one wants to buy a ticket, where something everyone stands around and stares at like an accident in the street. We're the Messiah's misfits. You might be sure of yourselves, but we live in the midst of fatalities and uncertainties. You might be well thought of by others, but you're most likely kicked around. Much of the time, we don't have enough to eat. We wear patched and threadbare clothes, and we get doors slammed in our faces, and we pick up odd jobs anywhere we can to eke out a living. When they call us names, we say, God bless you. When they spread rumors about us, we put in a good word for them. We're treated like garbage, potato peelings from the culture's kitchen, and it's not getting any better. I'm not writing all this as a neighborhood scold just to make you feel rotten. I'm writing as a father to you, my children. I love you, and I want you to grow up well, not spoiled. There are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong, but there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow up. It was as Jesus helped me proclaim God's message to you that I became your father. I'm not, you know, asking you to do anything I'm not already doing myself. As far as some members of the church of that day were concerned, Paul's life was a failure. He was in prison. How could that be God's hand? The fact is, however, that he has and was in the very center of God's will. Most felt that he had not really heard from God for his direction, but he had. They could only see his life with their reasoning minds, not from God's perspective. If you are following hard after God, you will feel the sting of people who have not heard the heralding call to holiness. Your life will make little sense, especially to those in leadership who have been chosen for their business aplomb rather than their spiritual selling out. Be encouraged. For you are a forerunner and called as a scout to mark the path of freedom in Christ when the world and most of the church will walk around wild-eyed, wide-eyed, drooling at the mouth from fear as times change. Good business sense will be a pale companion when lives will depend on counsel from the heart of God to make it through these perilous times. If your heart breaks when you see people falling back into the world because they've fallen through the cracks in some congregation when no one was there for them in their need, you are in the company of Jesus Himself. If you see the foolishness of pastors needing to become cheerleaders to motivate their people to do good works, and good words from the pulpit never reaching the inner being of the people in the pews so that the real heart change is evident, then God is showing you a church that has chosen to try to maintain status quo when He is calling for more. Because you see the heralding and are responding by repenting of your lack of love for God's ways, you are in training to care as He does. Until the church in general catches up with His heart, you will be branded as somewhat unusual. Get used to it. The anointing of God to deeply impact lives and hold them as long as needed never came cheap. In these times, it will cost you everything. Forgive those who would attempt to stop your calling. Pray for God's mercy toward them, and by all means, continue to minister. Don't attempt to change those who don't yet see God's season or those who choose to remain cold. Find a fellowship that is moving in God's direction and become involved, even if you have to change locations. Time is too short and the harvest is too ready. It is important that you do not become involved in religious games. God was motivating Jeremiah to sell out and learn His kind of strength for the race he was to run when he was old. And then he was told this, "If you have raced with men on foot and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? And if you take to flight in a land of peace where you feel secure, and then what will you do when you tread the tangled maze of jungle haunted by lions in the swelling and the flooding of the Jordan?" Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. The race that our Lord is calling for in preparation for what lies ahead is a non-compromising, your life is not your own, everything for Jesus kind of commitment. That's the way it was for Jesus Himself. That's the way it was for the first century church. And that's the call now, to walk a passionate, Christ-like life. It is the crucified life. The embracing of a crucified life has always been God's way for His true believers to find and move in accordance with His heart. He is calling things back to that standard. Be encouraged if you are responding. Do not let anyone put out the fire of that kind of love. No matter how reasonable the words sound or how foolish you may feel, you are not alone, even though it may seem like it. Make sure that you are heading toward loving as Jesus did, and submit to the training. Embrace all of the challenges you are going through for the love of your Lord and for the good of others who will need you. You are learning to compete with the horses and in training for what lies ahead on God's timetable. To those of you who have said you will serve God, but find that your life is relatively ineffective, I ask you this. How does your Christian life compare to the Christian life of the first century church? Better still, how does your life compare to the life that Jesus exhibited to a world that was perishing in its sin? 1 John 2:6 in the Amplified Version states, "Whoever says that he abides in Him ought, as a personal debt, to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself." A study of the Word of God as it is written, not as it is interpreted by 20th century Christians who haven't beheld the glory of God in their own lives, rings with the truth that the life of a true follower of Jesus Christ is to be lived in the same way He lived, totally dead to self and living only for the Lord. Stop and truly ponder that concept. As you read it, let the Word of God overcome the teachings of man's self-centered gospel. Don't let the words themselves be nullified in their impact because of the loose usage and weak understanding that have been applied to them. Let the Holy Spirit quicken you to the truth of what is required of you if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The time has come to put an end to the self-centered, self-serving attitude that has permeated and nullified the gospel of Jesus Christ in this land. There is no power to overcome because we do not have the presence the real Shekinah glory of God in our lives. We lack this glory because His presence will not reside in dirty vessels. The dirt of self, of the world, of pride, of much, much more is all that is exhibited to the perishing, and none of that will bring people to reconciliation with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 21 in the Amplified Version says, "For the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died, was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ for a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, the previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him." It was God, personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, the restoration of favor. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and to be reconciled to God. For our sake, we made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as, being in and examples of the righteousness of God, that we ought to be approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. The above verses leave little room for discussion as to what our purpose on this earth is after we have received salvation through Jesus Christ. Once we have received Christ and made him Lord, our purpose is to lay down our lives, to become more like him in thought, in word, and in deed, to see others as he saw them, and then to exhibit that life of love before them so that they might see Jesus in us and be reconciled to the Father. In other words, we must allow him to live his life through us. Any other gospel is the distorted gospel of man. The other gospel of good works leads to a life of salt that has lost its saltiness, to be trampled underfoot by men. It will not and cannot change men's hearts because life-changing Spirit of God is not in it. Where do you stand? Who do people see when they see your life daily? Do they see the Jesus of the Bible? They should, or else you are not really following Christ as you say you are. How do you perceive those who have not met Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives? Are they enemies? Is the salvation of their souls your deepest care, your only reason for being alive? It was for Jesus. He mingled with and then he died for the worst of sinners. His love for those who cursed him, rejected him, and then crucified him was so great that even he pleaded with his Father for them as he hung on the cross. That's the passionate kind of love that has been given to you and me. Do we have any choice but to give that same love to our neighbor, the abortionist, the pornographer, the homosexual? If you want to become emotional over an issue, ask God to show you the reality of hell and the eternal fate of those going there. If you want to become militant about anything, get militant in prayer for a church body that would rather talk about God than meet with God to become like Jesus. If you realize that you are not really living the life that God desires you to live, one that is totally dead to your own desires, your own needs, and a way of doing things and alive only to Jesus, so that others might see him in your life, then you need to repent. Recommit every area of your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and start to receive His life, His ways, His thoughts, and His desires. Do it now, for time is very short, and many need to see Jesus in your life. That's where I'm seeking the Lord to take me. You and I may be the only opportunity someone will have to recognize Him. What Savior will others see? The Jesus of the Bible? Or angry, sin-laden, condescending hypocrites with no compassion for them or for others? Lord, help us. And He will. Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Wow. What an incredibly powerful ending to an incredibly powerful book. Again, a white stone written in 1997, parallels so much of today, so many things that we see. This ending, this last letter to those who've read this book is quite empowering all on its own. What a challenge to those of us who call ourselves followers of Christ. Are we truly living according to the Word of God? Are we truly living as Jesus did? Are we loving as Jesus did? Or do we pick and choose? Man, it's pretty simple. The Word of God tells us if we're not living our life in complete submission to the Lord, if we're not completely following in the ways of Jesus Christ, we need to repent because we've got things hung up inside. We've got selfishness or entitlement or something that's not right in our own hearts. And we need to come before the Lord and lay those burdens before the cross and truly become selfless in our service to Him, especially in these last days where time is short. What an exciting time to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be a beacon of light to others. Will we be ridiculed? Absolutely. I do almost every day. Somebody challenges me in my faith. Will we be judged by others? Most likely. Will we be condemned by others? Most likely, because they don't understand what it is that we're saying. They're blinded to the truth. Our role is to share Jesus with everyone that we can. Live a life that appears as Jesus' life on this earth in a loving fashion. Praying that the veil will come off before it's too late. That somebody will see Jesus in us, recognizing Jesus in us, and come to a place of surrender, not to us, but to Jesus. What an incredible, powerful time that we are in. And what a time to be a follower of Jesus Christ, living our life the way we should be. God bless you guys. I thank you so much for following along. The story time is this one's been incredible. I think I know where we're going in the future. As we start next week, we'll see if we get there like I want to. But I want you to prayerfully consider this. Go back and listen to these again if need be. But hear the Word of God being spoken to you in a lifestyle change that is so different than anything that we recognize here on this earth. The worldly lifestyle simply isn't good enough. Even our church lifestyle may not be good enough when it comes to really representing Jesus Christ on this earth. We got to do our part to seek out that which is lost so that they may be saved. Amen. God bless you. Ron and I love you. We thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Please continue to pray with us. Support us if you can. All of our giving links are available on our website and right on our Facebook page. If you could consider supporting us, we would greatly appreciate it. Please continue to pray with us. Walk with us on this journey. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll talk to you again real soon.